I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, I am super pumped today to talk about what life looks like now being binge-free and all of the growth and the healing that I have done over the last few years and really what that transition looked like, because I spent so long being at war with food, being like feeling really trapped in my body, a slave to food, a slave to exercise, and it was just so mentally and emotionally exhausting. And my emotions and my self-worth were really so dependent on this weight roller coaster. So as my weight went up, my emotions and like my self-concept and self-esteem went down. And as it went down, as the scale went down, then my self-confidence would go up. But I was always so terrified to be able to hold on to it. And it's interesting looking back now, and it's almost odd. Like sometimes I forget how bad it really was because I've been out of it for so long now. But it did take some work. It took some very conscious thought and effort. And so starting the end of 2017 and into 2018, I really started trying programs and coaching and groups. And I did a consultation with a coach, and she was really based in intuitive eating and letting go of the scale. You don't weigh yourself. You let your body naturally find its set rhythm. And I just was not ready for that. I was not ready whatsoever to just let go and say like, body, you can do whatever you want. Body, you can gain 10 pounds if you want. I was not there. And this is a really big piece because this is part of my thing is we can love our bodies now and down the scale. We can love our bodies now, even if we want to change them. And that's not coming from a place of self-hate or shame or judgment. And just eating whatever we want whenever we feel like it, in my opinion, is actually the source of emotional eating. We are eating often to self-soothe and to feel better. And on our call, we talked a lot about my food habits and disordered eating habits, but we didn't really address the emotional eating. Like that wasn't a core thing. She wasn't like, yeah, when you heal your emotional eating, that's what allows the scale to naturally come down and re-regulate. You will naturally lose weight because you are no longer overeating trying to self-soothe. Like that wasn't part of her thing. So for me, I was like, okay, so there were some things like that where having conversations with different people, being a part of different groups, different programs, I was slowly starting to flush out what was working, what was not. I tried a group program, like a membership where I think I paid like a one-time fee and it was like one-time forever access. And I got on the first coaching call, I got on to get coached and I was like, okay, so I had lunch. It was a pretty healthy lunch. And then afterwards, I wasn't hungry, but I still ate this protein bar and I don't know why. Like I can't figure it out why I keep eating and I'm not hungry. Can you help me figure this out? And he basically was like, don't worry about it. You should just be glad that you made a pretty healthy decision and you didn't eat you could have eaten something worse. But a protein bar is really not that bad, so don't worry about it. And I was like, no, that's not acceptable. And for me, that's not what I cared about. I was very good at making healthy decisions. What I was not good at was figuring out why I kept overeating, why I kept reaching for food, even when I wasn't hungry on a daily basis, usually on weekdays. I really didn't have that issue much on the weekends, but specifically on weekdays, I really struggled with that, which is why for a long time, I thought my issue was the job. I thought the job is the problem. But then I switched jobs and then I kept doing it. Still continued the habit. And then I got into my own business, still continued the habit. And while it got progressively better, I still noticed it happening. And so it's not about the circumstance. And it wasn't about me just needing to make better choices. So after that, I didn't show up to anything else after that. I was like, F this. But no, really, it was more like, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't going to help me. And that's okay. I need to figure out what will and find something that will work and that will help. And this is where like that program, I'm sure was helpful for some people. I'm sure that was great. And it was a coach that was hired by the main coach. So the main guy who started the business, he wasn't the one doing the coaching there. I think had I reached out to support and maybe asked for some feedback or coaching from that main guy, I bet I would have received something. But for me, I was just, that's a no. And I'm going to move on and figure out what is going to help. And so for a while, I thought I could figure it out on my own. I thought, okay, I know what to do. I can figure this out. But by the end of 2019, like basically throughout that year, I kept trying it. I kept trying to change circumstances. And while I wasn't, I don't think I was binging much, if at all, in 2019, I was still overeating. I was still emotionally eating. I still, like, I would eat lunch. I would still starve myself through the morning, or I was trying to do intermittent fasting. Oh, that's what it was. But I wasn't losing any weight, even though I was following my fasting window and all the rules. But I would eat lunch, and then I would just keep snacking through dinner. And so it was like I still kept overeating even in my eating window, which is why I think, like, you, there's no one right way for anybody to heal emotional eating, to lose weight, to get a hold of, like, their habits. Like, there is a little bit of trial and error in figuring out what works for your body in particular. And I know most days my body's not hungry in the morning. I naturally don't eat breakfast, but I also have learned to release, like, the hard and fast rules around I can't eat at this time, which I know I addressed a little bit in last week's episode. But yeah, so throughout 2019, I was still overeating, but no longer binging, which was progress. I was really working on my relationship with food and really trying to help release the fear and anxiety around carbs and sugar in particular, like learning to let food be neutral, starting to incorporate like rice and quinoa into my cauliflower rice, like looking at how I could incorporate a little bit of like healthier carbs. And at that time, I think I still had a little love affair with peanut butter. I think I was still probably under eating and under fueling my body to where there were still times of like overeating or probably not binging, but just overeating on the peanut butter and feeling really full afterwards and going through rounds where it's okay, I just can't buy the food. So I wouldn't buy it, but then I would buy something maybe a couple weeks later, and maybe it was ice cream, maybe it was something else, but then recognizing, okay, I could take the food out of the house, but if I'm not working on my relationship with it, if I'm not working on the mental, emotional game with food, it doesn't matter. I bring it back in and I'm just going to have the same habit with it because I haven't learned how to change that pattern. So it was really starting to recognize and go through a little bit of that trial and error and start to see, okay, there has to be a missing piece here. There has to be some kind of emotional, psychological aspect. And while it seems so simple and so easy, there is something here that I am not getting. And so really in 2020 became more of my deeper dive into emotional eating and really healing that, really understanding my overeating habits, the emotional eating habit, getting to a place where I could decode it and understand why it was happening. And so January, I lost 1 pound. And I really only had a couple pounds. Like, I wanted to lose like 2 pounds. I really didn't have a lot of weight to lose. My goal was really, I want to heal my relationship with food. I want to lose the mental, emotional weight that comes with food and exercise. And January, I lost 1 pound. So it was a quarter pound per week. And then February, I maintained. And I was like, okay, not a problem, because I'm getting progressively better and better in my relationship with food, tracking my habits, being able to evaluate without shame and judgment, evaluating my overeats, like really starting to do more of that like deeper work. And then in early March, I found out I was pregnant. And the reason that came up was because I got terrible pregnancy sickness. It was all day morning sickness. It was miserable for the first 4 or 5 weeks. And luckily that subsided after that. It was about a month, maybe a little longer. But then it was more, I would feel nauseous and sick around 5-ish p.m. Like, I could get through most of the day, and then I started feeling crummy. But yeah, just feeling like nauseous all day, every day was so hard. It was so rough. But everything that I teach about emotional eating and weight loss, I did during the pregnancy. I did while I was pregnant. And the beautiful thing about this is that I felt so calm and so at peace that I would be able to lose the baby weight after he was born. There was no doubt, there was no stress, there was no worry. And that is a huge piece of why I didn't want to have kids for a long time, of why I would much rather have a surrogate. Because I was like, okay, if I'm struggling with weight so much, why would I why on earth would I voluntarily gain weight just to keep struggling with it afterwards? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, I was that, it was just such a mental, emotional struggle. And to some people, they probably would hear that and think very judgy thoughts of me. That is not something that I opened up and wanted to share with a lot of people. I don't even think I shared that with my husband. And we had marriage things to work on. We had financial goals we wanted to hit. He had career goals he wanted to hit before we like really started a family. And God's timing is always perfect. And so but it's amazing too how it aligned with my inner work that I was doing, because in the past, the gaining weight would have like totally freaked me out. And so I gained 25 pounds with that pregnancy. And what's funny too is 20 pounds came off in the first week. My body comp didn't go back to normal, but 20 pounds came off. So like in the very beginning, like it was all, there was really only about 5 pounds that I had to lose afterwards. But that meant that 2020 was really my year to work on my relationship with food, my self-love, my really understanding my hunger and satiety signals. And so I took it very slow of like really recognizing any lingering food rules. Where was food still bad? Where was I still making unrealistic daily plans and not like telling myself like I shouldn't eat this or I shouldn't eat that, trying to eat a healthier option, but then eating off plan because I wasn't planning appropriately. And also recognizing too, I can still make progress without being perfect. Like I remember 1 month doing my eval and I had eaten off plan. I did not follow my plan for 60% of the time. I think I had only followed it 40% of the time, which all that shows me is I just need to do a better job of realistically planning. I think for me, it was like I told myself I wanted to just eat one sweet, and a lot of times I wanted more than one sweet. There was a thought with like ice cream or anything, yeah, any kind of like dessert where it was like, oh, this will make me feel better. And especially being like sick and having the pregnancy sickness. And so it really helped me to see some of my excuses, justifications, and permission giving thoughts, which is why I believe you can do this work at any point, at any time, and it's still so valuable. And my issue, again, like it wasn't about the weight loss so much. It was like there was, I think it was letting go of this constant need to lose weight or this constant desire to always be thinner and to never be happy and content. But like really it was healing that internal game. And so decoding and understanding my emotional eating habit, looking for all the excuses and justifications to eat off plan or to eat more than my body needed, to really prove to myself like I can eat carbs and I can eat sweets and I can eat dessert and I can learn how to say no from a place of self-love. I can learn how to say no even when I want more, and finding ways to really make this work for me and my lifestyle, even when I was pregnant. And a big thing was also to not say, screw it, I'm pregnant, I'm gonna eat whatever I want, I'm gonna gain weight anyways, doesn't matter. Or to use the pregnancy as an excuse to just eat my face off. Of now I get to eat all the foods that have been restricted and off limits previously, because that was my other thought. And I think at one point, and I remember somebody had pointed out to me, think you really want to do that. But then really to also strengthen my self-love and my relationship with myself. I had to work through thoughts about weighing in and the scale going up. And there was I noticed a huge improvement even just a couple months into doing this work, where I had my second appointment at the doctor's office, with which again, like, we are full on COVID. It's only me going to these appointments, but I go in and I get on the scale, and I had weighed recently, either that morning or the day prior. And when I got on the scale at the doctor's office, it was up 6 pounds. And I was like, oh, that's weird. That's a lot higher than when I weighed in before. And so the nurse reset the scale. I got back on, and then it was back in line, and it was maybe like half a pound different than what I had weighed in previously, maybe a pound. But I was like, oh, yeah, no, that looks more in line. It was like, oh, I should have been 126 and I was showing up at 132. But it was one of those times where I didn't freak out. It was more of, oh, that's weird. And that was huge for me, like to not have that internal freak out and be like, oh, my gosh, the scale just went up and it's up this high and I'm gaining too much weight too fast, and all without all of that internal drama, like to just to have my first gut reaction be, oh, that's weird, like very calmly. That was huge, huge. And to be able to have that kind of approach even now is incredible. And this even happened recently. This was a couple weeks ago. I got on the scale and I was like, oh, that's up. It's up a couple pounds. Okay. So I start doing my normal internal like evaluation in my head of what's going on. Has there been any emotional eating, any overeating? Have I been snacking more? Any extra sweets? Where's there been extra permission? Just starting to do that. Okay, what's going on? And it was still in my maintenance range. It was just up a little bit higher than I was thinking or expecting. And then something like I like tipped it or something happened to where it reset. And then I was like, oh, huh, I wonder if it just wasn't set and like equaled out to zero. And sure enough, I get back on and it's 2 pounds lower, which is like where I was expecting it to be. So it's just one of those things, like really to no longer be terrified of the scale, to no longer let the scale dictate my mood, what I can eat, how much I have to exercise, like really changing that has been huge. And I think there can be times when we need to let go of the scale and we stop weighing for a short amount of time to be able to change our relationship with it, to work on our relationship with the scale. But then it's important to change how we talk to ourselves and that number, because, and that's why I give clients a worksheet to do. Of, let's look at the facts. What's the number? What are you making it mean? Really going into and really changing intentionally the thoughts and what's coming up. Do you like these thoughts? Do you like this story? Let's look at all the things that could have accounted for it. Let's look at the positive things that you did. Let's look at any of the mistakes or the negative things that you did. Why do you think the number is this way? What's one thing you can commit to moving forward? Like making it so clear, really looking at it as like it is data. It does not need to be this thing that dictates your mood for the rest of the day or the rest of the week. And that was huge. That's created so much freedom and so much ease. And I'm not going to lie, there are still times when my brain will, if the scale goes up, there might be times when like my brain is frustrated or I am like, I don't think I'm ever freaked out, but I'm also, this is really weird. This is up pretty high. Like I noticed in this dating relationship that I was in, it was not as healthy as I thought it was. Like there were red flags and things that I saw, but it ended up being more toxic than I had originally thought or I allowed myself to believe and to recognize. And over this year, like in the spring and in the summer, my weight was up and down quite a bit. And there were some weeks, some days when it was like up 5-6 pounds out of my maintenance range. And I was like, this feels so weird. Like I'm not really doing anything different. And the relationship ended and the scale went right back down. It was so wild. Like our bodies will hold on to trauma. It'll hold on to water weight, the stress and the cortisol. It holds on to things. And it's so fascinating to be able to recognize and see that. And I'm like, oh, so this is also one of my new thoughts, which when I start dating again, probably next year at some point, I like, what is the scale doing? Because I think that might indicate how healthy is this relationship or how healthy are my dating habits and patterns or what's really going on? So I don't know. It's just a theory. I guess I'll report back in once I fully test that out. But really changing my relationship with the scale was so huge. And doing that, even as the scale was going up while I was pregnant, I have become so in tune with my body and knowing what real hunger feels like, what satisfied really feels like in my body, how to stop at satisfied, why, and it's even knowing that, okay, I might even feel a little hungry after lunch, but I can look at my portion and see, okay, I've eaten a fair amount of food. I probably just ate too quickly. I'm going to wait 30 minutes before going back for more. It's practicing those little things of I'm going to wait before getting more food. I'm going to leave 2 bites behind. I'm going to try to slow down my eating. I'm going to go for a walk around the block after a meal to let everything settle, to digest, to give myself that pause. I no longer starve myself in the mornings. I am not trying to hit a certain time of day. I'm not trying to wait until noon when my quote eating window is open. I am usually not hungry until lunch, but if I am hungry in the morning at 8:30 or 9, I'm going to eat. And I know how to make good, healthy decisions. And a lot of times I don't need a lot of food. Last week over Thanksgiving, when I was back with my parents, Caleb and I were staying with them in DC. And for breakfast, remember there was one morning where I was a little hungry. I had a couple bites of eggs. Actually, I don't think I was really that hungry, but I had half a piece of bacon and a couple bites of eggs, and that was it. And then I waited another hour or two, and then I ate a little bit more, and being okay with it. And there are times there, it doesn't happen often, but occasionally I am ravenous in the morning. Like, it's not very often, but when it comes up, I know I need to feed my body, and I'm no longer trying to starve it so that I can meet this eating window. And I'm also no longer thinking I can only eat so many calories today. I don't want to eat too many of them too early because then I'm going to run out and I'm going to be hungry or I'm going to go over. So I should just try to eat as late as humanly possible. I was like, there was a lot of that tactic going on of the later you can eat, the better. The longer you can fast, the better. And again, it's if that works for your body, but it doesn't work for everybody. And so really give yourself the permission to listen to your body and to listen to what feels good for you and what doesn't. So that was amazing. No more forced fasting. If I'm, yeah, really listening to my body. Okay. There's so much freedom around the actual food that I'm eating, going out to new restaurants, trying new food, allowing myself a few bites of anything and really deciding, is this an 8 out of 10 or better? One of my favorite restaurants in North Carolina had these loaded brisket fries that I've talked about a few times. And there was a point where we were going there once a week, and I would get that every single week. And that was more of my exception meal. I'd split it with my ex. And then I would usually order either like the Brussels sprouts or a salad. And we still had enough to take home. And I was really in tune with, all right, I'm going to eat when I'm hungry, stop when I'm satisfied. I'm going to get to eat some of this tomorrow because we're going to have leftovers. And I get this next week too. And so it was like, it's not going away. We can come here anytime. We can have this at any point. Like, it's so, like, it just felt so much easier to be able to eat a little bit, to feel satisfied, and to move on. And because I had veggies, carbs, protein, I wasn't super stressed about following any macros, counting calories. It was really just making sure, okay, can I get some protein and a veggie in here? I no longer pick the rice off of my sushi. I can go to an Italian restaurant and find plenty of good options. I went for a friend's birthday a couple weeks ago, and one of my girlfriends and I, we split meals. So I got chicken piccata, she got ravioli, and we split it in half, and it was fantastic. Not only was it a great meal then, but I had enough for my meal at lunch the next day. So being able to take food home, not stressing about like how much food is left, being more comfortable throwing food away, especially if it's just a couple bites. I still enjoy sweets every day, but I'm very intentional with them. And so I plan them, eat them when I truly want them. I think about it as like, if I'm going to get one treat or one granola bar or one protein bar or protein cookie or whatever it is, I'm not going to grab it unless I'm really, truly in the mood for it. And so it's just being very intentional. It's no longer a, well, I need something fast and easy to eat, or it's not a, I want a snack that is going to tide me over so that I can eat later in the day. It's, do I really want this? Does it really taste good? Do I enjoy it? And also noticing how there are phases, and there was a phase for me probably throughout this year where sometimes I love the Oreo thins and I just wanted some Oreos. But I have also phased out of the Oreos, and I'm like, there's a bakery next to one of the gyms that I teach at. I really like their cookies, and I would enjoy one of those cookies more so than two or three Oreos. And so that's been the other thing, is what do I want more? What do I enjoy more? And give myself what I really enjoy and what feels satisfying, versus sometimes eating the Oreos, like I could eat a lot more of them. They don't feel as satisfying. And just notice when there are ebbs and flows to it. But I no longer sit and eat an entire pint of ice cream. In fact, I typically buy ice cream or frozen yogurt bars. That makes the portioning easier. But even with a pint of ice cream, I can have a couple of bites and put it back. For a while, my rule was it needs to go into a bowl or a cup. I'm no longer going to eat it out of the container. These are the food rules that were really helpful for me. No longer making my food rules about the food and what I can and can't eat, but really putting some parameters of like, I'm no longer going to eat cheap chips out of the bag. I'm going to pour them into a bowl. I'm no longer going to eat ice cream out of the container. I'm going to put it into a small cup or a dish. I'm not going to eat standing up in the kitchen. I'm not going to eat in front of the pantry or the refrigerator door. I'm going to sit down. All my food goes on a plate. I eat it with a spoon or a fork. It's like very simple things, but it's just like slowing down how we think about food, and it's really giving myself that permission. Looking at making better trade-offs. I don't only eat carbs or junk food or burgers, and I think more intentionally about what I'm having throughout the whole day. But I love a good burger and sweet potato fries. And so if I know that dinner is going to be a little bit heavier, I go lighter at lunch. Or especially if I don't know what dinner is going to look like, I'll often make sure like, all right, I'm going to make sure I get in some good veggies for lunch. I'm not going to show up starving. I'm also just going to be mindful and aware and think about it from that trade-off perspective. I might decide, okay, I would rather have a cocktail than have the free bread at the table. So that's one trade-off I might be willing to make. But I'm not trying to restrict carbs like I used to. It's more of recognizing carbs help me feel full and satiated. Carbs help me to reduce cravings. I have lost weight while eating carbs and being mindful of them because I'm eating balanced meals. Like my meal is not just spaghetti. If I eat some spaghetti like I did, this was a while ago. This I think was over the summer. I had a little bit of spaghetti, but I also had a large meatball and I had some broccoli and salad and like I had a variety of food. And so that's the thing. Like if we order pizza, I'm going to eat some veggie soup and some chicken and eat one, maybe two pieces of pizza depending on the size. So it's listen to your body, make those trade-offs, trust that no food is off limits and really I've gotten so clear on all of my permission-giving thoughts to eat. And sometimes new ones still come up. There are still times when I will overeat a little bit, but my overeat is a couple of bites. It's no longer multiple bars and bags of popcorn and ice cream and chocolate and all the things. Like it's not half a container of nuts. My overeating habit doesn't happen as frequently, and the amount of food that I consume is so much less. And I can do the evaluation so much quicker and really tune into, okay, what was going on here? Was I eating out of habit? Was I on autopilot? Was I just not thinking, not aware, not conscious? Did I forget? Like, what's going on? And that compassion and self-love is so key. It's so critical. And that is one of the biggest things that I tell clients when it comes to evaluating is you need to be curious and compassionate. So you need to come in like the detective. No drama, no emotion, and just start to take some guesses. I want to start to take some guesses as to what you could do differently next time as well. One of the things that really helped me was reminding myself, I can always eat more another time. I'm not bad for eating this now. I don't need to overeat on it. And it was more like, the more I save now, the more I get to enjoy this later. And that was such a good reminder, especially when going out to eat. And really giving myself permission to like food and to not like food, to not like certain restaurants or certain meals. But that for me was just such a good place to be of like, I can eat more later. I can always eat my leftovers from lunch for dinner. I can always eat leftovers tomorrow. I don't have to stock up on it now. It's like really creating this peace and like security around food of it's not going anywhere. So that was really big. And then one of the other really fun things is I forget about food. I forget that I have chocolate in my purse or in my pocket. I forget that I have ice cream in the freezer. I forget that there are cookies in the cabinet. Like I forget about food. I forgot about candy canes up in the cabinet, jelly beans that were in there from Easter that I found a couple, like a month or two ago. And it's been so easy. There's so much ease and neutrality with food that I forget about it because it's not this big thing in my mind taking up so much mental and emotional space. And I know I can have it anytime I want. I can have more anytime I want. And I don't need to binge and overeat on the cookies, for example, when I know I can have one tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. Like I can really allow myself to say no from that place of self-love because, oh, I've already had my one. I'm actually not that hungry. It's pretty late. It's actually almost time for bed. I really want to stop eating 2 hours before I go to sleep. So that means I need to stop eating now. Like it's these little things. And that has created so much freedom and peace with food. And that's what's going to allow you to feel in control of it. This is what life looks like after of not feeling pressured or stressed, trying to follow certain rules. I don't weigh, measure, or track food right now, I don't really even plan my food that much. Like, I'll think about it a little bit day to day, but I'm not a strict planner because I typically make really good, healthy decisions. So like that for me has not been a thing. If the scale is going up and it's staying up, that's what often my key and like the my mental note of, okay, I need to start planning and being more intentional with here's what I'm going to eat. But typically in the morning, I just think through it. Okay, here's what I have. I've got some leftover veggie soup in the fridge. I'll probably have that for lunch. Dinner, I made a big turkey the other day. And so I'm going to have that. Plus, I'll probably make some mac and cheese for Caleb. Probably eat a little bit of that. And then I was going to cook up the broccoli for us. So I already have a mental plan. I don't feel the need to plan everything. I don't have to plan out my week. But I do also think ahead a little bit of, all right, what are some options? What might I like to have? Just because it makes grocery shopping easier. And then I have my staples of here's what I typically go to. Here's what's often or like almost always in the fridge kind of thing. But that works for me. That works for me, especially in maintenance. So I think there's freedom and permission to do it your own way as you're losing the weight, as you're healing your relationship with food and body, as you're healing your emotional eating or binge eating habit. And then there's also freedom and ease to make it look your own way as you're in maintenance and really recognizing, okay, and I know from my maintenance range too, like here's what feels comfortable. And if I'm up higher and if it stays up for more than 2 or 3 weeks in a row, I also know, okay, now I need to be more intentional about planning. Like now I just need to be, and now I need to circle back and be like, okay, what's going on? Is there something else happening? But typically if the scale's up, my first thought is, has there been extra snacking, extra sweets, more permission? Like what's going on here? Often usually it's like more emotional eating. But I have maintained this weight. So it took about a year to lose all the baby weight and to get my body composition back to where it was prior to having baby. And then over the next like 1 year, I think I lost another 2 pounds, like without really trying, just being mindful and aware of what I was eating. And so my range is 120 to 125. And I typically will weigh in between 122 and 123 on any given day. That's usually where I fall. And that feels good for me. I feel healthy and comfortable. And I like the lifestyle that I can live when I'm here. And I don't, again, it's don't have to be perfect. You are going to figure this out. You're going to lose the weight. You're going to heal your relationship with food without being perfect. If you want some help with this, this is exactly what I do with clients, is to help them create a plan that works for their lifestyle, their body, their habits, that allows them to focus on the things that they need the most help with and make it really streamlined and simple so that you can create these kind of results as well. Because so often we just get so overwhelmed and we can be in a hurry and in a rush to get there. And really, it's about deciding who you want to become. How do you become this different person who has these habits and patterns so that you can maintain the results? That's what it's all about, is being able to maintain this. So if you would like some help with this, you can click the link in the description or visit me at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule and get on my calendar and let's really talk about where are you now? Where do you want to be? Like in a year, this time next year, where do you want to be? How do you want to handle the holidays? How do you want to feel around food and your body? And I'll show you what's really getting in the way and what's really blocking you. Like what is stopping you from having the success that you truly want? I hope that you are having a wonderful holiday season. Happy December. I can't believe we are coming up on the new year so quickly, but this is like such a good opportunity to really start to become aware of your eating habits, the emotions that are coming up, the food rules that you keep trying to follow. And if you're like me, where you're like, you know what, I've kept trying to do it on my own for so long. I've maybe had some success. I've made some improvements, some progress, but I'm still not getting it. I'm still overeating. I'm still emotionally eating. There's still something that's just not there, like some pieces that still seem to be missing. Then let's chat. Come work with me because I promise I can help you with this. This is my area of genius. This is what I am so good at. And not only are you going to transform your life because of how you're changing your relationship with food, but you're going to transform all these other areas too and how you show up with your spouse or your ex, with your kids, in your career, in your business, and it is going to be so good. It just blows your mind. All right, y'all. Here's to creating the life and body you crave, especially over the holidays.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.